ભરતભાઈ વો ભરતભાઈ એમ ઓડિબલ
એમ આઈ ઓડિબલ ટુ યુ
યસ નાઉ યસ
યુ આર નોટ ઓડિબલ ટુ મી
નો નો નાઉ આઈ એમ યુ આર ઓડિબલ આઈ એમ ઓડિબલ બોથ આર ઓડિબલ
યસ બોથ ઓફ યુ આર ઓડિબલ
And we are being, we can, I mean, one can see us also.
Yes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good day and welcome to Finotex Chemical Limited Business Update Conference Call. Today, we have with us Mr. Sanjay Pibrewala, Executive Director and CFO, and Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor, Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode only, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions once the presentation concludes. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Sanjay Pibrewala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Anvita. A very good morning, everyone. Welcome to Finotex Business Update Highlights conference call. We are delighted to have you all join us today as we share the latest updates and achievements of Finotex. At Finotex, we are dedicated to pursuing continuous diversification and expansion of our businesses, which includes venturing in dynamic and most promising cleaning and hygiene segments as well. By combining our expertise in textile specialties segment and chemicals with a strategic entry into the cleaning and hygiene markets, we aim to bring cutting-edge solutions to both sectors. Our unwavering commitments to innovation enables us to anticipate and stay ahead of the industry trends, delivering the state-of-the-art products that caters to evolving needs of the customers in both the textile and the cleaning hygiene businesses, as well as the oil business. To further enhance our offerings, we have been diligently expanding our portfolios. By expanding and diversifying the range of solutions, we are better equipped to address a wider spectrum of customers' demand while opening up for more revenue growth. With a strong market presence and our trusted reputation, Finotex has established itself as a leader in the industry. We take pride in our ability to deliver high quality products and services, earning the trust and the loyalty of our valued customers. We take pride in our extensive manufacturing capabilities across multi locations, including our strategic platform positioned in Ambernath, Mahape, and Selangor in Malaysia. These manufacturing platforms serve as an essential hub, providing us with the necessary flexibility and capacity to handle the expanding requirements of our product diversification. By leveraging these advanced facilities, Finotex maintains agility in adapting to market needs, ensuring efficient production and timely delivery of our wide range of innovative solutions. Our strong financial position provides with the flexibility to make our strategic investments in growth opportunities. With a robust balance sheet and financial footing, we are well positioned to seize promising prospects and drive substantial expansions. Sustainability is and has been our key focus at Finotex. We have dedicated to promoting eco-friendly practices and supporting a more sustainable textile industry. Our products are designed to minimize their environmental impact and contribute to a greener future. With this, I will like to start the presentation. The latest investor presentation is already uploaded on the portals and the websites and the stock exchanges. By now you must be, I hope the screen is well shared and it's viewable by all. I'll quickly glance through all these slides and then maybe we can open the session for certain question and answers. You may also send us the questions in the chat box also, which will be viewed by the panelists only and will be answered in general to all the participants, or maybe one-to-one also. As such, I'll quickly glance through all the investor presentation slides, and as and when we proceed, we'll just explain about certain inputs which will be important for the participants to know about Finotex. So basically, let me overview like the two main portfolios. What we have is the newer one is the cleaning and hygiene segment, which has shaped up quite rapidly in the last 3-4 years as such. And the first business, the main core business has been specialty textile segments. So as such, I would like to take you to the history about it. That as such, Finotex has been not only producing specialty textile performance chemicals, but we are also providing a lot of sustainable solutions to the customer and also providing a lot of technical services. So let me bring down the journey to a level where we started our businesses. The entire textile market in the world has been dominated by European textile chemical companies. And we have been working and supplying to these chemical companies under their brand up to the year 2005 and 6 broadly. After the textile industry had its own challenges, a lot of textile chemical companies were also having off or diversifying over their businesses. And there came a point when we decided to enter the market with our own brand, with our own specialty chemicals, and also providing the end users the best technical solutions and services. So all in all, I can say the products when we were supplying to the European textile chemical companies, they were only buying it from us. There was no value addition being done on it. And as such, it was being sold to the end users at a very phenomenally gross high margins. So as such, we have in textile chemicals, there are basically 4 processes: pre-treatment, dyeing, printing, and finishing. All the 4 processes require 25 different functional chemicals all in all. And all these 25 different functional chemicals contribute only 3% cost to the user. So the cost per chemical is 3/25 is 0.15%. What I'm trying to mention here is the cost is very insignificant for the customer. That is one part of it. It's something like the salt of the food from that point. At the same time, there is a big risk in changing and choosing a chemical. If something goes wrong in the pre-treatment chemicals, there can be pinholes in the fabrics and the customer's entire fabric can be wasted. Similarly, in the finishing process, if something goes wrong with the silicones, if there is a silicone separation on the fabric, there can be silicone spots and which are not removable at all, still now. And what it means by you need to sell the fabric in cut pieces. What I would like to mention here is the entry and exit barrier of this business has been very, very high. And once a customer starts the business, a product, generally they don't change it. Now, apart from these challenges, there is something more significant as well, which I would like to mention, that every substrate has a different requirement of a chemical. Let's say for cotton, there is a different set of chemicals which are required for polyester, acrylic, nylon, for everything. Apart from that, it also depends on what kind of processing has been done. Let's say cotton is being, if a fabric is there, there are multiple processes to be done. Is it in exhaust or is it in padding? In padding also, or maybe let's say in exhaust also, whether the pre-treatment is done in the continuous jigger machines or the continuous Bruckner machines. In continuous machines also, whether it's in Bruckner or it's Dahl machines or things like this. So we need to know exactly. So it's a lot of customization there. And the same product cannot be given for another machine or something. It's not like a paracetamol. This business is not like a paracetamol where, you know, the product is same and maybe a male, female, elderly, young, everyone can consume it. It's nothing like that. It's a customized solution. We need to understand the customer's requirements and then offer the product. Apart from that, I would also like to mention in this segment, we are not having it's not a CO-driven business. It's not like a soda ash. It's not like acetic acid where the products of acetic acid is 99% glacial acetic acid. It's fixed. I mean, there is no, nobody's asking about whether it's 99 or 98. It's 99. But this is more like a homeopathy solution, what we are offering to the customers. Phanotex has beautifully positioned itself. And right now we have been working for all the biggest corporate textile customers of India. In the sense, we have right from the top notch of the bed sheets, towels, yarns, acrylic, because in textiles, it's a very me too kind of a business. If you talk about Bilwara market, it's a suiting market. If you want to sell to this Bilwara market, we need to have customers of Raymond's category and things like that. If you are supplying to Wellspun, the customers of Bilwara are not bothered about it because they want the benchmark and the top notch company in that segment. So what has helped us in the last 15 years, I would say that Phanotex has been successful with all the biggest corporate customers of India, which are not in the same category, which are in acrylic, let's say from Chenab, JCT, Auro Dyeing, Auro Textile, Mavi Spinning, Deepak Birla, Winsim, TC Saluja, Reliance, Wellspun, Baswara Syntex, Raymond's Vapi, Raymond Chinwada, Doniers, Himat Sinkas, Indocounts, Jayashree, you name it, and we will be there. It's something like that. There will be almost, and most of them are listed also. These are the biggest corporate customers. And once you get these entries and these customers, it's quite an easy way of selling to the semi-corporates because those markets are quite me-too driven business. So I will also like to mention that textile is little like a me too kind of a businesses, and we have the best solution company, technical people. What is very important for us is we have the best 34 professionals who are providing technical solutions to the customers. So in all the textile belt, we have all the kinds of marketing guys and technical marketing guys in Ahmedabad, in Surat, in Ludhiana, Panipat, Delhi, South, we have an office and things like that. So Biotechs is leading our R&D. So Biotechs, after our IPO in 2011, we invested in a European founded company producing specialty performance chemicals. And this company has been doing business with Finotechs from 2007 and 8, in a way that we were also selling to them certain products which are produced by Finotechs India plant, and we were importing certain products from Biotechs. The synergy, what we could see is that they were also supplying to all the European chemical companies, and we like what we have been doing here. And then we decided, let's work together, let's synergize our strengths, and then we can go in the market and get more market shares and technological advancements and do a lot of R&D and work on that lines. So as such, I will take the discussion ahead. We have almost 450 product line. Like I said, we have pre-treatment, dyeing, printing, finishing. We have all these range for all the kinds of substrates. We have the best certification, which is called Blue Sign. Blue Sign is one of the most difficult sustainable document. It's like costing 60, 70 lakhs per annum. The Europeans fly down to the plants and they have a listed 2,500 questions listed, and they do offsite audit also for 6 months. So they do ask sustainable questions like what is the gas used in your air condition also. So this is the most. So what happens with that certification is most of the buying houses like Zara's and, they prefer Inditex, Walmart's will prefer Okotex. So this is the kind of, once you have a blue sign, you are already accredited in the category of getting the, sustainability in place, because there is a big future on sustainability. So we are one of the early movers in the sustainability. This is what we have been talking about from 2011 to all our customers and things like that. Of course, it was too early actually. And now the trend has picked up in the last 3-4 years for sustainability. If you hear the interviews of all the biggest textile promoters and top management on LinkedIn or wherever, most of them are talking about sustainability only, because in textiles, the way and mission now is to reduce the environmental load, BOD, COD. And we are already the early movers, in which we have been able to reduce their energy, steam, manpower, water consumption, number of chemicals also. Instead of using 3 chemicals, we have offered 1 chemical, which is doing the work of 3 chemicals. So all in all, this is the point where we are. These are the certifications. We have 100 distributors, let's say stockists and distributors all over India. Our capacity is now 1,04,000 tons. With the recent expansion in the 16 months before, or not say, let's say 18 months before, the capacity was 43,000 tons. Gradually, we started the Ambernath plant. We brought it to 81,000 tons, and now it's 1,04,000 tons. We are very delighted to also offer, also mention that our new plant is already in the quarter four last year, financial 23, has already been consumed, utilized by 66% of the capacity. So from 43,000, we have come to 104,000 capacity in the last 18 months. And the best part is that 66% is already occupied in the new plant expansion also. Of course, there'll be more expansion happening on that premises, and future plans are also there. About CRISIL rating, we have been upgraded now a couple of, I think 2 quarters back by CRISIL. And our long-term rating is now A stable, short-term rating is A1. The ICRA rating has also been upgraded from long-term A to short-term A1. As such, we have been working with like almost 70 countries today. In fact, we have been exhibiting all over the world. In fact, today our director, Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala, and our CEO, Mr. Arindam Chaudhary, are also traveling to Europe for the fair, the ITMA fair, which is once in 4 years. This is one of the biggest fair in the European nation, and also for the business. And so we have a good kind of a exhibition budget also. Let me talk to you about the cleaning and hygiene. So let me tell you how does the cleaning and hygiene business works. So let me be telling you about the capacities of fungible. In the same textile chemical businesses, there is a sector called pre-treatment, which I said about, which is the cleaning stage. So wohi cleaning stage ki products hoti hai cleaning and hygiene mein, which is almost similar to that, let's say 98% similar to that. And that has a market in other businesses, which we have started working upon. Our plants are FDA certified. We have our hand washes, sanitizers. We do a lot of institutional sales now, hospitals, hotels, about floor cleaners, glass wall cleaners, toilet bowl cleaners, hand washes, and things like that. And the interesting part is that for this businesses, we do not need any particular machinery capex because it's in the fungible, like I said. So this is something which I've been going. At the same time, we have started offering our specialty products to the detergent chemical companies, and they are adding it, detergent FMCG companies. They are adding our products as an additive in their product lines and marketing. I'm using it for the entire orders of their detergents and things like that. This business has also shaped up very well in the last 3 years. Brands like Patanjali, brands like Ghadi, brands like Power Soaps, brand like Ponvendu, Arasan and South, and many more such plants. And of course, the big names are also, we are targeting, and we are on a very higher stage of discussion with the global FMCG giants also for global orders and things like that. As you can see, the FMCG companies are the best places to be because the entry and exit barrier businesses for there is much more stronger. At the same time, the flip side obviously is that, you know, the entry is also very time consuming because these are FMCG and the entire brand of the customers will depend on their quality. And that's the point where they are very much slow in giving the approvals. The stability test is done for 1 year and things like that. So, however, it took us time and we did all the efforts and investments on those lines. I will like to take to the next slide rather. We are working with like 69 countries, and this is very interesting. We'll read about that in the next slide. This is something to do. What I would like to highlight is, let's say from the last 4 years, there has been a lot of changes happening. I'll start with 2019. We got the blue sign in the year before the COVID. In 2020, I would like to mention that we, during the first COVID-1, the first quarter, which was the most unpredictable quarter, we were on set of finding another piece of plant and land for more expansions, which was quite, you know, a challenge as such during those times. And we did it. In 6 months, we acquired the land as well by November 2021. And in the last 18 months, like I said, that 43,000 capacities have gone up. Let me also be mentioned all the internal accruals, which have been, all the capex, which has been done even till now is done by internal accruals. There is no bank loans. It's a debt-free company, no working loans as such also, no net working loans. In 2021, we had a lot of, a lot of changes happening around in the sense we started working on becoming the most reliable textile chemical company for the customers. In the sense we started bringing all the foreign companies to India. We bought HealthGuard. HealthGuard is one of the biggest, I cannot say the biggest, but I can say the best product line for antimicrobial, antiviral kind of businesses, in which we have been partnering with them. So wherever their products are already approved in Targets and Turner Bianca, which are the big brand house like Walmart's. Now, if Trident and Wellspun's are doing any orders for Targets and Turner Bianca, they have to use the products of HealthGuard. So basically what happens in textile is quite, they need a company like we have become like Amazon, like a platform for the textile companies. Whatever products they want, they'll get it from here. So what we are doing is whatever chemistry is best in the world, we are trying to tie up with these companies so that our product range gets better. Because textile is little bit, I can say like they are looking of a lot of technical services. They need somebody which have stockist. Whereas what happens for us, if our technical team is going to market the products, they are selling Finotex products, Biotex products. Now they are also offering Eurodyes and Health Guards. So for us, the variable cost is not increasing. We are increasing our wallet shares. We are increasing our menu card. And we want to become, let's say, a Kiranewala for the textile industry also, because the textile companies love to buy more from the same suppliers. When we get an order, let's say from Guatemala or El Salvador, when the containers have been planned off, which are the products to be added, it becomes very easy for them to include some more products, Lenovo HealthGuard or Eurodyes CTC. Eurodyes CTC is a company in Belgium. It was ex-Unilever plant. This company already acquired business of Stephenson UK just before the COVID for the wool specialties. This company is already having blue sign and other things, and as such, they are doing the same things what we have been in India, buying the raw mats and producing the products for the textile companies. However, there's a big change. Like in Europe, the industrial, the cost, the gas price of last year and today, the freight costs, which we have experienced, container availability not being seen. These kinds of product, these kinds of challenges have made European manufacturing almost unviable. And it was a good time for us to tie up with them and start doing Make in India kind of concept. From India, we can do supplies in to all over India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, or wherever we have, and you know, our mutual agreements with them. So this is the right way also of looking at the things and bringing a lot more joint ventures to India. This is also one of our strategies going forward. 2022, like I said, we increased the capacity further, and this is where we are. I'll get to the next slide. So I will try to be more quicker on my next slides and try to finish up so that we have a good question and answer round also. So as such, Finotech's overviews, customized solutions, this has already been said about in our in my discussion. These are the strategic rationales and numerous chemical, this has already been done and discussed. We go to the next one. Like I was talking about the pre-treatment product lines, dyeing, printing, and finishing. And finishing is our major share. Okay, this is very important. Finishing is almost, let's say, 40% of our businesses. And finishing is the place where we would love to be. And it's the most difficult place to be. And that will obviously have the biggest EBITDA margins also. Because a consumer will buy the fabric on the basis of the color and the touch and the feel. This is what it is. What is happening in COVID times, the consumer demands have changed a lot. The consumers like us, when we go to the malls or something, we are also asking some technical functional chemicals or technical functional attributes on the fabric. Let's say antimicrobial chahiye, dust nahi lagna chahiye, blood nahi lagna chahiye, antiviral. You know, that thing has changed now. And luckily, all these chemicals, I mean, all these fabrics cannot be, these properties cannot come from mechanical processing. It will come only from chemical processing. And there we are. So finishing is the stage. Let's say whatever products in finishing generally starts, it's the consumers don't change it. The products we started in with Raymond's in 2007, at 2023, that those products are still going on. So this is the place. This is like, say, the cardio. We are the, you know, this is the cardiologist kind of a business where we are in the finishing, and that's our mainstay. Our different kind of, you know, the co-producers of textile chemicals or certain competitors, we can call it, they are more focused on the pre-treatment, which is not our main focus area, because pre-treatment is something where the customers can always change the chemical depending on price. And then this is not the kind of businesses where we would love to be. And naturally, where the consumers can change the product, the EBITDA margins will be much, much, much lower. And whereas for us, if you see our 50 quarters of being listed, average EBITDA for our businesses has been from 16% to 25% broadly. And that's always been there in the last 50 quarters of being listed. So this is also because of our focus on finishing area, and that's our key strengths. Right now, our strategies for textiles has also changed a lot. We go to the customers, we take their targets, fabric, and they are untreated, and we match them with our own recipes and permutation and combination. So that's something technical, which I would not touch more now, but I'm just giving you what kind of product line we are talking about. So yes, this is the place where we are cleaning, hygiene, drilling specialties. We are working for drilling also. Drilling is mainly going to the government kind of supported companies like ONGC types. And it's a more of a tender business, and it's not. So one of the companies in this line had approached us with asking for certain solutions. They were using a powder, which is not eco-friendly, not economical, difficult to use, things like that. In powder form, they wanted us to do some R&D with them together. We worked with them together. We produced certain things, which has started off and shaping up well. It's also, we are one of the, I think the only companies for that product line. But of course, oil and gas is government dependent. It has a lot of, it takes a very long time to take to a matured level. So we are looking at that business also. These are the synergies of Biotechs and Finotechs. Finotechs, Biotechs is heading our, the R&D developments also. So Biotechs is owned 72% by Finotechs, 28% with the European people. They are from ex-Henkel and ex-Thor. Henkel is the mother company for all surfactants. So a lot of our textile-related R&D and detergent-related R&D and knowledge and technical know-how has come from them. They are the 28% shareholder, the German guys. They take care of all the directional things, and they will also be exhibiting in ITMA coming forward form. EuroDice CTC, this is what I have mentioned to you already just a while back about the plant is in Belgium. It's a Unilever plant. They have reach and other things. We have started doing a lot of distribution and production for them in India and Pan Asia. HealthGuard, I have already mentioned. Interestingly, last month, I think 3 weeks back, another product of HealthGuard has got the US EPA. So with HealthGuard, what we have been doing is we are not buying and selling as such. We are also investing with them together for the licenses. We are partnering them for the licenses of the, you know, like US EPA or any kind of licenses, whichever is required. Then the customer's availability and the customer's interest gets on a very high page. Sashmira, yes, Sashmira, I'm an alumni from Sashmira. It's a textile university near Siddhivinayak, Mumbai. And our doctors, our team for R&D in India are placed in Sashmira. This is the first collaboration of Sashmira with a chemical company like us, Finotex. And the scope of the activities is that because most of the technical people in India for textile business and others are mainly from ICT, UDCT, or from Sashmira, that's in textiles broadly. So what we have sent to the message to all the textile companies is that if you need any solutions, sustainable solutions, any troubleshooting, because our business is more like troubleshooting. We are like the doctors for them. We are the doctors for textiles. That is the way we sell our products. So of course, when we do that, that helps us to sell our solutions. This helps us to get a better EBITDA, a sustainable long-term businesses also with the customers. So Sashmira is the place where we are doing our R&D. We also mentioned about the growth in the hygiene and the textile chemical businesses. Textile, I can say, you know, textile has become a business which has a very big, gestation period, right? From the cotton growing to the fabric being sold in the Walmarts, it's more than 6-8 months. And generally what happens when the cotton prices goes up, the challenge is that as soon as the cotton price goes up, most of the buying houses reduces their purchases. And then there is a little bit diminishing production in the textile industry as such. So this is a business where one should look at not every quarter and quarter business, textiles broadly, it should be looked on. Let's say COVID time, say jo chal raha tha pehle se, COVID has been very good for the textile business broadly. And this has helped the entire textile businesses, like Indocount has invested in GHCL plant and bought them. A lot of investments are also still going on with Himmat Singhas, and Raymond's is also doing fairly well, Vardhaman also. So these are our major clients as well. I think, you know, this is something which we have quite established players in that, and we have the best solutions. We are one of the most chosen ones from that end also. Cleaning and hygiene, this is a business for FMCG where things are shaping up dramatically. And, you know, the more and more focus we are getting on cleaning and hygiene, it is helping us to get into more and more FMCG players, getting into more product lines. This has also helped us a lot. See, actually, the cleaning and hygiene is also going mainly for the textiles. Because detergents ka aap kuch bhi washing machine mein use kar rahe ho, hand mein use kar rahe ho, ultimately it's going for textiles. We are the best guys for textiles. So we understand textiles more than others. And I think that's also helping us to innovate our products, get to the customization and make the products which are more useful for the cleaning and hygiene FMCG players to, you know, to choose us as their suppliers. That's also helping us. Well, here I would like to mention the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three of the last year has been quite interestingly. So we have been Great Place certified in quarter one last year. Even last week, we have been renewed the second year for the Great Place to Work. We have ESOP for, earlier we had ESOP for 91 employees in the last nomination and remuneration committee. They have approved for another 19. So together, I think we have touched 111 employees are having the ESOP the scheme. And so that's what we believe in. Quarter two, we have been, so these are the approvals for the health guard. We got into the category of what you call as the A group companies and things like that. And quarter three, yes, has been quite interesting. The credit rating has been upgraded by ICRA and by CRISIL also. Oh, CRISIL was in quarter four. Okay. So yeah, we expanded the capacity in quarter three. We could get started off quite well. We were awarded by Dun & Bradstreet for certain awards. And quarter four, this is the kind of the CRISIL upgrade and the new approval which we got from the US EPA. This is certain things to be do, the capacity. Like I said, in the last quarter four, financial 23, capacity utilization is 66%. Of course, we have almost all the certifications what a company needs, including GMP, goods manufacturing things. So these are the countries where we are working upon. Till now, the international business is 35% of our business. 65% is India. So this is our list of board of directors and the committee members and the committees which we have and the things. The management team is here. And so that's our CMD on the left. On the second is me, Arti Jhunjhunwala, Arindam Chaudhary, Mr. Noah Vakas, the German guy whom I mentioned about, Mr. Keda, Mr. Madhukar Shenoy, who has just joined us a couple of months back, not even a couple of months back, actually. So he has been having a great experience in the consumer industrial care. He was the business head for Dow for 13 years. He was in Clarent Chemicals for 3 years and also certain water treatment and detergent based companies. So that's something which we are also looking at. Coming to the financial performance, most of these things are available on your paper, in front of you. I'll not take too much of a time here. So as such, I'll talk about the EBITDA numbers. Let me tell you, in detergents, FMCG business and the textile chemicals, the storyline is that the gross margins in textiles is always much, much higher, for sure. At the same time, there will be certain expenses also on that line. Detergent business has its own volumetric businesses. The price average realization is quite lower. The proceeds are much faster. But basically, how we look at our business is more of an EBITDA margin driven businesses. And that's the way we have been working quite well. Our EBITDA margins, if you are also checking over the last 8 quarters, have been averagely above 20 to 24 broadly. That's the place where it is. I'll just go to the next slide. So let's say, yes, if you talk about the CAGR for last 12 years of being listed, our CAGR has been always 23% for the last 12 years also. Of course, from this part also, you can see that. Return on capital employed is soaring up and up. This is also the more and more we focus on cleaning FMCG businesses. This will still be much higher. This is the financial things. I'll keep this part open for our questions and answer round rather, because this is something which is already published and well watched. Certifications, we have touched already. Certifications and sustainability. Yes, interestingly, from this month onwards, in a couple of weeks, I think from now, we'll start with the solar also. It's already installed. There are certain government processes which are taking time, and we will be we'll be having our further investments in the ESG activities as well. At the same time, we have a special ESG portal on our website. You can also please go through it. These are the tasks and the actions which the company has done. It's mentioned here also, ESG profile link. I think maybe Anvita, maybe you can we can start with some question and answers. We can keep it open for that.
Sure. So participants have an option to either raise your hands and then you can ask the question, or alternatively, you can also put in your questions through the Q&A chat box that we have. So we have a couple of questions lined up already. So the first question is, how complex are the products that we manufacture in terms of number of steps, chemistry, skill sets required, constant R&D, etc.?
This is a point which I was thinking about, but I did miss up in my explanation or taking through the presentation. So basically, we have the facilities of polymerization, esterification, sulfonation, phosphonation. Polymerizations is homopolymer, copolymer, terpolymer. Also, the homopolymer, terpolymer, and the copolymers are of different monomers, acrylic, maleic, butyl, styrene, VAM, things like that. So these are the kinds of special chemistries which we have been handling. Our skill is, this has been done since last 3-4 decades as such. So wherever these chemistries are shaping up, let's say for cleaning, FMCG, oil and gas, we are making sure that these chemistries are also being used for producing products for those industries. That is one. The steps are not certain because it all depends on the kind of product. Because like I said, we have more than 470 product categories, and it's not easy for having the same. It's not easy. I mean, it's not, you know, there cannot be the same steps for producing the same, the products for everything. Let me give you an analogy here. It's like for a kitchen, it's like a, you have this SS reactors, SS316, L column condenser, jacketed limpet coils kind of reactors with thermofluid boilers and steam boilers. And now you can do the different kind of products. It's more like a kitchen industry where you can, in the same frying pan, you can make some different products. But the product timing and the steps will be different based on the technology and the product what we have to provide. So constant in R&D, yes, this is something which we have been doing about. In the last 4 years, if you look at our numbers, there has been an increase in our investments. The investments was for sales promotion, having more technical marketing people for more exhibitions, and also a lot of more factory audits, product certifications, and R&D as well. So this is a constant process. We are already early movers in sustainable businesses, and that also has been started shaping up in the last few quarters, last few years, actually. So this is answering this question, actually. Anvita, we can move to the next one, please.
Sure, Mr. Sanjay. The next question is from Shreyans Katani. What is the dependence of raw materials on China? Also, is there any threat of cheaper Chinese product?
Yeah, this is also quite an interesting question. So let me tell you, we are a lighter restaurant company, and the let's say the vegetables are coming from, let's say, from China. China doesn't produce these kinds of products where there is a lot of customizations and tailor-made solutions. China produces products which are mass selling, which are our raw mats, and we already, from a purchase point of view, 60% of our purchases is local indigenous, 40 is from the imports. Now the 40 also what is import doesn't mean that we need to import it, but they have a lot of agents and stockists in Kandla or Mundra or Bhiwandi ports or wherever it is. And we can always measure we can compare the prices of both the products which we want to source. Let's say a glacial acetic acid, even if it's a GNFC product or a Luxi Korea or something from China, if it is, we have to just compare the price and we can source it, because acetic acid will be glacial. It's needless to mention, it will be 99%. So this is the edge we have. We do not have dependency on China, and whatever dependency you can see in the last 3 years, what has happened because of, let's say, Chinese stopping production, the freight cost going up, containers not be available. So we were switching to the Indian companies also. And so this is well managed, I think. That's not our challenge, and Chinese cannot come into our businesses for sure, because our business is a solution driven businesses. It's more a tailor-made, and Chinese are not into those kinds of products. And even the textile businesses and textile psychology of the business doesn't invite Chinese for that purpose. China is good for acids, peroxides, and things like that, other things. We can move to the next one. Anvita, please.
Sure, Mr. Sanjay. The next question is from Satadru Chakravorty. The question is, for the drilling specialty chemicals business, how do you see this? How do you see this business evolving? Will this ever attain significant scale within Finotex? And you mentioned that this is primarily with government companies. So is it fair to say that the working capital requirement is more for this vertical as compared to the other two verticals?
Yes, let me tell you one thing. The business of any government related business is something I would like to mention. It's not completely dependable or sustainable, because it's too much of a government things, and these oil and drilling businesses in any country, I think mostly in India also, is more driven by government policies and things. And I would not mention here that, you know, I would like to mention here that we do not want to depend on this on a broader level, because this kind of businesses, we never, okay. I mean, it can be that 2 quarters, you don't get a business, third, fourth quarter, you get a good business. So we will not be too much keen. See, our focus area is more on businesses which are more COVID-proof. COVID-proof business, let me tell you, is like detergents, FMCG businesses, COVID-proof business, comparatively COVID-proof, I can say so. Textile also, let's say, you know, oil and gas is not a COVID-proof business. As soon as they have this, you know, drilling issues and things, because the oil and gas drilling is not happening for today, this year. Oil and gas drilling, whatever is being done today, is for 2025. So in a matter of, if they have some government or political things, or sometimes they decide to postpone 6 months of drilling and, you know, things like that, it's not a dependable business. We are not too much onto it. Working capital as such, the maximum is used for textiles. Textile is little bit traditional as such. But of course, when you are working with Vardhamans of the world or Raymonds of the world, you don't need to bother about the, you know, your payments being going to a bad direction. But it's just so that it's little traditional business. So there can be a working capital requirement more in textiles that has been happening. But the more and more we are focusing on FMCG business, that the mix is getting covered and the blends results, as we can see, has come down from 140 days. Today, it's almost at 90 days, the working capital, more broadly speaking. So this has also been possible because of the more and more focus which we have done in our other businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question that we have is from Mr. Ankit Bansal. Mr. Bansal, you are allowed to speak. Can you please unmute yourself and ask your question?
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Sir, my question is the kind of corporates you are working with, the bigger houses. But sir, your revenue share, like you are doing everything, providing solutions, giving everything, but your market share, your revenue with this kind of product line, you should have been 10x revenue from now you are having. Is there any problem in execution or implementation? Because you are covering all the corporates of India.
Okay. All right. I'll try to answer your question in a short way of this thing. See, if you notice, we have already, if you analyze the quarter things, we are already on almost a 600 crores company today, which 2-3 years back was a 220 crore company. And what is important from that point, that already organically, where all we have been stepping, we are being able to gauge more customers. We have been able to get more and more, let's say, wallet shares of the customers. The EBITDA margins are intact. If we talk about only turnover is not the place where we are. We are not a general physicians of this market. We are the cardiologist. If the moment we start talking about products which are more voluminous and turnover driven, which will hit the EBITDA margins, which our co-producers love to do, by the way, and that is the kind of businesses we don't want to enter strategically. जो कार्डियोलॉजिस्ट होता है, जिस दिन वो आपका सर्दी जुकाम की दवाई चालू कर देगा, आप उसको हार्ट दिखाना बंद कर दोगे. So we would like to be very sure on what the customers look at us, the perception and the kind of our USP has to be very clear. The message has to be very clear to the customers that this is not we are doing, this is what we are doing. And we love to be in this place because this is the most difficult area where we are. The 600 crores business, what we do is even more important than a 1200 crores business of somebody else's, which is not sustainable, which can be working on a, you know, on a price gap or whatever it is. So we know what we are doing. I think this is the best place, the best results the team has been achieving at. Anvita, maybe we can go to the next one.
Yes, sure. We have one more question from Mr. Hemant Soni. Mr. Soni, can...
Anvita, maybe there are a lot many more questions also, which I can see on the...
Okay, sure.
Okay, let's take this one first and then we go to the next one.
Okay, sure.
So, yeah, Mr. Hemant, yeah, can you speak up?
Mr. Hemant Soni, can you please unmute yourself and ask your question?
Or maybe we can go to the questions, you know, what are already been asked by the participants. Okay. I think that's the right thing also we can do. Yeah.
Okay, sure. So we have the next question from Mr. Satadru Chakraborty. Pinotex is at 67% capacity utilization now. When do you foresee this capacity being fully utilized? And consequently, when shall you be going for further capacity expansion? What kind of funding mix do you envisage, and what asset turns will you be able to generate then?
Yeah, very interesting clusters of questions, rather not one question. So I would like to answer to the, all the participants about this. Yes, we have reached 66-67% utilization quarter four. As such, every, if you can see last, like gradually we have increased the capacity from 43 to 84 and then 84 to 81 and then 84, 81 say 1,04,000 tons, and that has been done at the same premises. We have quite a good space in the same premises, and we will be keep on adding certain more capacity increase in that same premises. However, what we are looking at, we are very long-term planning, things are going on. We would like to mention there will be certain new investments also being happening in the properties, in the land and the building areas, because what we are looking at is not about this year or next year. We are talking of everything is 2000. How does the 2026, 27, 28 is looking at? Same thing if you talk 2 years back or 2.5 years back in, let's say, 21, in the year 2020, when the COVID was there, just 3 years before, that was the time when we were almost at 60% capacity, and we went to, you know, expand to a place at doubling the capacity, even if we were at 60%. And there were a lot of questions were coming from investors when the capacity is still 50, 60% utilization and it's a COVID time, why you want to go ahead and, you know, expand it. So let me tell you, number one, we, the chemical plants do take a little bit time to, for the permissions and things and like, as we understand. At the same time, with the kind of vision we have, the kind of things we have, this kinds of things will happen every 2 years or 3 years, which we are also envisaging now. As such, the cash bank balance of the company is at the moment, you know, including the, you know, the treasury and the cash and cash equivalents, more or less is almost quite a sizable number today. It's more than 100 crores or 120 crores at the moment, console level. And all the investments done by the company till now for this business has also been done from internal accruals. So there will be no kind of a funding required for expanding organically in for more land building and other production capacities. So generally, our asset turnover ratios on a broader level has been always 6 to 8 times. And after the capacities are in place, by the way. So yes, this is something which our participants can expect happening way forward also. So that could be quite interesting for the future.
Thank you.
Maybe go to the next. Yeah, please. Yes. Yeah.
The next question is from Jinesh Dilip Kada. Risk management strategies in place for risk like geopolitical risk, natural calamity risk, recession, etc.
Yeah, so I would like to mention in the last 3 years, everything has happened. We had the biggest pandemic of the century, perhaps. And we have geopolitical situations of Russia, Ukraine, things like this. Natural calamities at Turkey and things like that. Recession, let's say from last year, we are talking about slowdowns and recessions. So in spite of these things happening from April 2020, I think the company and the team has performed substantially well, especially in comparison to the peers. And I think that should be rather a good way of rating our company and understanding where we are coming from. I think these management strategies must be on place. Of course, that's the reason we have been able to sail through in spite of the freight shortage, freight price jumps, material shortages, China not working, whatever we have experienced in the past. So I don't think anything more is left out in the in something which is unpredictable to be left out right now. So I think these things, if we can deal with these things, I think the company can deal with most of the future things. If at all something is happening globally, we can move on.
Yes. Next question we have is from Keshav Kumar. He has three questions. The first one is for specialty chemicals catering to Indian textile industry, what is the finishing segment contribution? What is our market share in that?
For the specialty chemical company, specialty chemicals catering to Indian textile industry, discussion, the major focus is for us also and for the customers also, finishing will be the major area, because in finishing you have to use too many chemicals also, and these are expensive chemicals. And also, let's say if you like, biotech is more into the biotech ka to, I mean, the slogan and the punchline is your textile chemical experts, your finishing chemical experts. This is the punchline of biotechs. So basically for biotechs, the major product lines like water repellents, flame retardants, finishes, blackening agents, burka blackening, and things like that. Those have been the specialties, and this is the place where the consumers need more specialty products, and the cost also will be higher for them as well. So that's the answer to it. We go to the next one.
Yes, the second question is, what is the level of our penetration in Bangladesh and Vietnam textiles value chain, and how do we see that contribution shaping up in 5 to 7 years?
See, Bangladesh has been a good country for us from revenue point of view. I think it should be the top two countries and way forward. We are already having our good dealer network. Right now, we have opened this month also an office in a licensing office in Bangladesh, and adding up to the team members and things like that. And this Bangladesh will be always interesting. Vietnam has its own things. We are prevalent in Vietnam to some extent, but Bangladesh is something which we are more aggressive upon. And we are looking at great days going forward in Bangladesh. And let's say the entire, let's say India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Vietnam, Russia, and things like that, that will be the countries of the future for, producing the textiles and the garments going ahead. So I think, let's say in the next 5 years, these businesses and 7 years going to be, growing rapidly for these countries.
Thank you. The third question from Mr. Keshav Kumar is it fair to assume that X finishing chemicals would have a more textile industry mirroring rate of growth, whereas finishing would move at a higher growth?
Well, I have not correctly understood this question, actually, how it is mentioned about, how is it phrased. Maybe we can understand this at a later stage also. Finishing, of course, is going at a higher rate because the consumers' preferences and demands have gone up. Every consumer is asking for, like I said, asking for something which has more technical fabric or something functional, water repellent hona chahiye, ya perspiration absorber, wicking properties, things like that. These things have to be done chemically. Finishing mein jayega. So these things are definitely will be more useful to, that market of finishing in textiles is going to grow. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. We can go to the next one.
The next question is from Hemant Sumi. What is the capacity expansion plan now? How much will it expand and how much time will it take?
See, like I said, we are having certain capacity expansion plans. We will come to and inform the investors and the things at the right stage. We are working on it, and maybe in a, by this quarter end, I think we should be having certain concrete plans going forward. In the sense of asset capacity expansion will be done in the same premises where we have just started off. There is ample of space, but also we are looking at certain new additions to it, which we are working upon it. The time taken for production capacity expansions in the same premises will not take more than 2 quarters max, because already all the things are laid off. The machinery foundations and the admin team and things like that are already there. Yeah, if you talk about something new premises and things like that, it generally takes 1 year or one year, you can say, for permissions and the industrial corporate development corporations approvals and things like that. So pretty much it's still in line, and we will be able to do a lot of good things happening going forward. And next, please.
The next question is from Jinesh Dilip Kada. Yeah. Does the company maintain any 5 to 10 year plan?
I think this is related to PNL 5 to 10 years plans, or I mean, it's I have not understood exactly the point here. Okay, they have mentioned maintain and publish 5 to 10 year plan. No, actually, we would we would not like to share too much of ours or diverge too much of our plans and things like that. However, what we have seen in the past were also certain plans of the company, which has been proven and quite executed very well. We are excellent in execution in time, within cost. And this is because you can see at the kind of capex we have and the kind of our operating cash flows to EBITDA is touched 95% or so. Our volumes has the volumes have grown by 85% in a year-on-year basis. I think this all attributes with the EBITDA margins also being intact. I think these are all signs of well-executed team and well-executed projects in time, within cost. I think this is the place where we can, the participants can expect the company to be going forward.
Thank you. Yeah. The next question is from Chinmay Shah. How do you see the next 3 years for textiles industry, and how do we envisage the FCL growth for the same?
So let me tell you one thing. Textile is now, let's say, from the volume point of view, 40% of our volume. FMCG is 60%. So for us, the major business and the major volume business right now is FMCG, cleaning and hygiene business, which has been faring quite well, and the growth rate in both industries is good enough. How do we see next 3 years of textile? Textile will be growing for sure as such. There's no doubt about it. If you can see 3 years before, the COVID one, first quarter for textile was very bad. COVID two was not good. Quarter three, quarter four was phenomenal. And that led to a lot of companies doing expansion plans and things like that, because textile may... We all need to see the businesses year on year basis. It will no longer be a quarter on quarter growth, because textile ka gestation period zyada aa gaya, fluctuation in cotton prices has become higher. So naturally, the Walmarts of the world, they will not be having this consistent planning for the spinning companies or for the yarn companies or things like that. They will keep, and there is a big inventory always in the pipeline. So this is something we should look at the textile business as such. This is my opinion, of course. And that's the point we can say. So textile will be growing for sure. Percentage wise, cleaning and hygiene will be growing perhaps more higher in terms of percentages. We can change to the next one, Anvita.
Yes. The next question is from Mr. Siddharth Lakhanpal. Since you mentioned that your demand is customized, do you think it will pose challenges for scale going forward?
Well, this is a good question, but I would like to mention that we are already geared up for that. We have a great USP on that kind of businesses. It's not new for us. We are already doing this business for the last 30 years. So even if the demand goes up for customizations, we would love it, because the more the customizations, the higher the EBITDA, the higher the exit barriers. And this is what we love to, what we will dream the industry should look at more. More and more customization is good for us. This is the way we look at up. And so challenges for scale up will not be there. This business, what we are doing right now, is based on those kinds of customizations already. As you can see, the capex, the asset turnover ratio is 6 to 8 times. And so I don't think that is also a challenge for the company to, it's not like, it's a very big investment and then there is a change in the technology, nothing like that. And firstly, all the capacities are synergy. This is the best beauty of the company, where we do not have specific investment for one product or one or two products and things like that. So 99% or 98% of the products are in the same kind of machinery setup, which are with a little permutation combination, which we are aware about, and we have been doing executing it very well. So that's about it.
The next question is from Anirudh Daga. What does the total capacity transform to in terms of the approximate turnover at 100% utilization?
So interestingly, let me tell you what has happened in the last 6-8 months. Lot of the chemical raw material prices have been going down and down. Caustic price, our raw materials I'm talking about. The caustic, just 70 rupees was the price. Now it is 35 rupees today. Now, what happens with that? There is a general drop in the pricing, basic pricing. So generally what happens, every company will reduce the inventory levels. So earlier, and when there was a shortage, when there was a freight cost going up and things like that, that freight has become quite important for the entire product line, the companies were storing more. Every company was running on 2 months or 3 months of inventory levels broadly, generally. Ab dheere dheere, what is happening is that these companies have fell down to, let's say, keeping only 1 month stock, keeping 15 days or 1 month stock, so that because the next product what they will be procuring at will be at a much better price at as such. So there is a double hit happening in the chemical prices, that the volumes go down because of the inventory levels of the customers' plannings are changing, as well as the average realization prices are also going down. Now, similarly for ours, the cleaning and hygiene business has picked up dramatically, and the textile business has been still growing in that space. As such, the blended, let's say put it in a different way, the textile average product is 100 rupees a kilo. And for detergent, cleaning, hygiene, FMCG, if you average out everything, it will be around 60 rupees a kilo or 58, 60 rupees a kilo. And the blended, we can talk about maybe 80 rupees a kilo at the moment. However, if you talk about 2 quarters back, the blended was above 100. So I would like to mention here that once the prices of the chemical starts moving up, the average realization will go up. And that will be the time then, with this 200% utilizations also, I can give you a number which will have more impact and useful. Now, what has happened? The average realization price has gone down. But keeping in mind, we have our EBITDA per kilo is not going down. In fact, the EBITDA percentage has gone up, though prices are going down, because we have been able to retain the drop in our profitability. And that is the way we have been growing the company's EBITDA absolute numbers as well.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question we have is from Neil Shah. Going forward, do you see the company more as a textile chemical company or FMCG supplier? Which segment will contribute more towards EBITDA out of these two?
Well, I'd like to mention here that now once our base cost is same, the operational efficiencies will be shooting up, and that will lead to better EBITDAs going forward. That's the general things which we have experienced in the past also. The more and more we are focused on FMCG. Today, FMCG business is 60% of our volumes as per quarter four. Textile has been good enough and has been growing, good profitable business, repetitive orders, things like that. And we are already a brand there. So, textile method, we are already a big brand, and FMCG is the place where we are developing our brand to be. And going forward, the contribution to EBITDA percentage, I think textile is also in a good shape as such from the EBITDA percentage value. The more and more FMCG businesses, if we are able to create some global accounts, I think the jump in the business can be something which can be expected in a good way in going forward. So this is what we are looking at. It is very hard to mention today or estimate, how much will this contribute in EBITDA or how much will, but at the moment, percentage wise, more or less all are in the line.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question we have is from Satadru Chakraborty. For raw material sourcing as well as finished product sales, do you have any sort of hedging mechanism in place? If not, is there any merit in looking into such a mechanism?
So here I would like to mention the raw material sourcing, what we have been doing. Generally, we are keeping an inventory of almost 2 months or something like that broadly of the raw materials. Of the entire inventory. So raw materials is quite easy to get. It's maximum 15-20 days. It's not a challenge for sure. And as you can see, our EBITDA, our gross margins are good enough. So, and generally textiles and cleaning hygiene, maybe generally the businesses runs in a fashion where they give you an order for 2-3 months broadly. And then they intimate you on the dispatches. So, we have a purchase order for 2-3 months, and then we have to keep dispatching it on intimation. So these are perennial business as such, but the process practicalities is that 2-3 months ke POs aate hain, and that is the way we are working. So generally up to that much level, raw materials also we have been secured as such. And whenever there is a price rise or something, we can always request them that, the new purchase orders, what has been done. So I'm touching on another question, which might be one of the important point also. So how much is the price flexibility and things like that? So this is not a government based business. Yeah, if you talk about oil and gas business, you have to sign a contract for 1 year, even if the price of the raw material doubles or gets half. But in this business, you get a room always to push up the prices, or the other way around. If the consumers are requesting for some price benefit, you know, something getting lower, maybe we can pass it on after 2 months. Till that time, we execute the existing contracts. So it's a natural hedging, I would like to say. There is nothing greatly intentional happening on that. There is no mechanism required, because the raw materials are so easily available in India, and also the imported raw materials. Let's say 95% of the raw materials are very, very easily available. 3-4% raw materials which we want, we stock it for 3 months, 4 months, that's also enough. So even if the goods are coming out of India, it just takes 1 month from the time we place an order till the time we get it. So ek do mahine tak ka to we are always in a good shape to do it. Nothing particular to look at on that. And also that doesn't affect our profitability, because the gross margins are sufficient enough to take the cushion of, so there is no great hit ever happening. And no gain also, by the way, for that.
Thank you, please. The next question is from Jinesh Dilip Gada. What investments will be made for organic and inorganic growth plans?
See, organically is something which we have been doing regularly, which we discussed in this seminar webinar now. And so this is answering the organic things. We are having sufficient cash on books, more than 120 is the cash on books at the moment. And still, as I said, as we have mentioned also, the cash from operations to EBITDA is also on a very high scale. So going forward, I think, we do not need any kind of debt or anything as such going forward. At least for the organic. For inorganic, as you can see that, after the IPO in 2011, in 3 months, we had deployed that funds for acquiring as a stake in Biotex, which is a European chemical company, which we just talked about. So Finotex holds 72% of that group now. It was the first made in inorganic acquisition, which Finotex had done. Not only that, with that, I can also mention that the synergy had shaped up very well. It has also made the, management quite confident enough, because having an international made-in acquisition and making it successful, where you have a lot of, let's say, government interventions from both sides, a lot of new psychological mindset of the team and others. So I think this has fared very well. So the company is open, I can say, to keep looking at certain opportunities which makes synergy, which has a great value. And of course, we are very cash disciplined. We are very much, if you can see, we have been cash debt-free for a long time. But that doesn't mean that we buy an asset or some company just for the sake of raising funds or going and buying something and buy something and end up in a point of not only getting the right ROI, but also losing time. Because I think the time is the most important, one of the very important thing along with the money. So if we buy any company, acquire it, and then we have to give our time and energy, and we have to understand what is the organic opportunities right now. So right now the company is enjoying on the organic opportunities. Let the company digest also the organic opportunities. And this is the way we are looking at our businesses. Inorganic opportunities, yes, we are there. We have access to capital. We have a lot many good fund companies who are approaching us also for if any fundraising activities are being done or not. However, that can be done if we get a company, a target which has synergy, bring value to the shareholders, to us and all, and mean a lot of great things happening way forward. So we are not those kinds of hungry peer companies, who love to look at buying companies for the sake of, let's say, easy capital or something like that, or I don't know, how do I phrase it? So anyhow, we are quite focused and we know what we are trying to do. So if there is something, there can be, we are not close to it, but yeah, if there's something which brings something value, we will always love to examine it. Sometimes we do keep getting proposals. It gets to some levels and then, it's always something or the other we've been discussed about inorganically. Maybe we go to the next one, Anvita, please.
Yes. The next question is from Keshav Kumar. As we get deeper into FMCG value chain and say the finishing chemicals share also moves up where we build a decent wallet share amongst our customers, does this also enable a custom synthesis like business model where some part of the R&D is also outsourced to us and we get a more customer funded business?
Well, the finishing chemical share is going up. There's no doubt about it. We are getting more decent wallet share from the customers. Like I said, the biggest exhibition is happening in the next 2 days. Our team is already there. We have almost 10 people moving from Finotex and Biotex to attend the exhibition. This is one of the most expensive exhibitions the company has been looking at. And our focus there is finishing chemicals. And this definitely guarantees that the finishing chemical share will go up, no doubt about it. And we will be gaining more customers and things like that. At the same time, custom synthesis like businesses, you know, we are not those kinds of a model that, you know, we are not only providing some R&D or this and that. We would like to work on a way that, you know, we don't need customer funding, by the way. There's no need of that. Of course, the payment in cleaning, hygiene, FMCG is already much better than what, you know, it's almost, the working cycle is almost 1 month or something like that, which is excellent. And so way forward, I don't think we need those kinds of businesses where the customer is funding our business or things like that. At the moment, we are well equipped internally that, you know, we can go to any kind of expansions also using our own self funds. So this is the way I would like to message.
Thank you. The next question is from Ajit Kumar. Can you please quantify market potential or opportunity for textile chemicals? And what is the current market percentage?
See, all in all, if you talk about globally, we can say this market is around, let's say, 25,000 crores market in the world broadly. And this has been still dominated by the European companies. Of course, the companies are having off, like Color came became Clariant became then BS Acrylic became Acroma, BSF went to Acroma, Ciba became Hansen became Acroma last month, 2 months back, ICI became Croda, Henkel became Pulcra. So a lot of the companies, you know, the Europeans are already having off, and so they are still the dominating position as such, even after the place where we are. I think in the next 5 years there will be a dramatic change, and I think more of these companies, they are already uniting now because of these problems and things. And I think the share will come to more like companies like us. This is the way we are expecting it to be.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question is, what are revenue and margins expectations now going ahead for FY24 and next 2-3 years given the new segment?
See, we'll refrain from giving too much of forward-looking statements, but I can say the trend is positive for wherever markets we are. The products range and product range is expanding. We are in the one of the best times, I can say, for right now. And going forward, we are very excited with the opportunities which has come to the table. What you have seen in the last few years, definitely we will be trying to execute something better than that, if not same. And so this is, we are very positive on the coming years on that lines.
Thank you. The next question is from Sriram R. You spoke about targeting top FMCG players from whom you will take market share. From whom will you take market share? And in F&F industry, I have seen it's difficult for Indian chemical companies taking market share from F&F blenders.
See, I would like to mention here, the two biggest competitors for us globally for FMCG player product lines is BSF and Dow. They are the giant companies, $5 billion companies. There is a lot of, ironically, both the companies are not producing their products in India. They are bringing it from Germany or Belgium, or now that the Europe, you know, the gas price and shortages happened, they have moved to another plant and bring it here, which of course means longer gestation period, customers waiting, customers, these products, let me tell it, this is also something which I would love to explain about. Detergents perform in good water. And if you take a soap in Mumbai and use the same soap in Vapi, you will see the foam is not coming, whether it's a detergent powder cake or our bathing soaps also. The reason because is that the water is so hard that detergents are not performing. So the point here is most of the FMCG brand companies, especially in India, and in India, every 15, 20 kilometers, the water quality is different, whether we are aware about it or not. The calcium, you know, every place there are different metal ions, calcium, magnesium, iron, whatnot, nickel, and all the lead, everything is there in the water. Whereas in, so basically what I mean to say is that the water in India or any developing country, let's say for that matter, will be the challenge for the detergents and the products need to outperform. Okay. Now, what is happening here in the big European names, which I just mentioned, they are bringing the products from Europe, made in European water, and they do not have customization for Indian markets. Whereas in India, you need to definitely customize your products. What product we give to South Indian companies, detergent makers, and what we give to the North Indian companies are also different, by the way. The reason for that is because the hardness of the water in North India and the South India is quite different. So we are customizing it there. However, it is quite ironical to note that the biggest companies of this business, of course, they are giant companies, so they don't care about too much of this business perhaps, but they have not customized the product. This is something which is, we are touching upon this as our USP also, that we are customization, we understand your markets, we understand your water, and that's the reason we are, that's one of the reason why our products are even performing much better than the, let's say, the founders of this businesses 200 years back as such. Now, let's say I also, we also address our customers in a different way that, you know, even a McDonald's, if they have a burger for India, they will have something to do with the Indian curry and Indian flavor, maybe in North India or South, you know, something to do with paneer or tam tikka and this and that. And the same McDonald's in Malaysia will be having something with peanut sauce or satay or something like this. But when it comes to, so of course there is a customization required for all geographies. That's the point. Whereas in this business, the European companies, they are not customization. They have the same product, whether it's sold in Indonesia, India, Bangladesh. You know, it's quite, you know, it's something which the customers are now understanding about. So this is the place we are also, this is one of our USP of marketing. And I think this is helping us dramatically to customize the products. So the same solutions of textiles, what mindset we have is customization. Same thing we are bringing to the detergent companies as well. So this is, so I would not mention that, you know, it is difficult or something like this. Of course, this is the comparison which I have mentioned about the companies and things like that, touching upon also what kind of differentiation we have. So differentiation is what excites our customers, and we are right on target on that.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question we have is from Krishna Patra. What will be the future projection of the coming year, and what is the percentage of R&D expenditure in terms of sale?
So, I mean, future projections, again, it has been repeated. We have answered to the best level we could. We cannot go further on that. Percentage-wise, R&D expenditures are always less than 1% of the sales. And this is the place where we have been able to achieve very well. And I think this is the place we are looking at as the turnover is also increasing right now. And I think that will be the normalized, less than 1% would be the benchmark for us. We can go to the next one, Anvita.
Sure. How do you typically have pricing with customers? Does this have raw material pass-through clauses? Trying to understand how margins are impacted during volatile raw material. The above question is from Shreyans Katani.
So basically, I have answered this question also a while back in some of the topics that the pricing is generally for 2 months, and then we can always increase the prices as such. Broadly speaking, 2 months is also from the point of view of being a, you know, it's a, like a purchase order is there in place. So we have the raw mats also, we approach them on a price for the future and this and that. But generally speaking, the prices generally is, it doesn't have too much of a change in the products which we are doing, in the specialty range, in the finishing specialties. If you talk about the other companies or peers or whatever, for them, because they are doing in a commodity product, so it's like, let's say caustic, let's say soda ash, let's say acetic acid, peroxide, every day they will have a price, or let's say weekly they will be having a price. Because, and similarly in textile chemicals, which are less EBITDA driven, more voluminous, more turnover, less profitable, easy to change kind of products, those will be of the similar category. Because their customers are always looking at comparing with others. Whereas when we are talking about solutions, there cannot be a comparison. Of course, we have to be something which is nicer to them for the matter of price going down also and price going up also. But this is the edge which we have in our product line where we are in for the textile customers.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. The next question again is from Mr. Krishna Patra. What is the revenue share from specialty chemical and FMCG in FY23 and Q4 FY23?
Well, this has already been mentioned about in one of the questions. I think this question has come before I answered it. So maybe we can give a pass to this because yes. This has been already answered about. I think there are a couple of questions, if at all there is.
Those have already been answered too.
Yeah. So, maybe if there is any further questions you find so coming up. There is one message come which I can read is the last one. So maybe Anvita, you can take this one.
Yes, like this business call also request management to organize a plant visit for shareholders.
So broadly speaking, we do have sometimes the plant visits for certain set of shareholders in group or individual that can be always organized. That's in the plan. The point is that we are happy that the participants have come in good numbers today. And I think this can be also taken up where you can meet the team and see the state of the art plant. This, and in fact, most of the investors and who have seen the plants have appreciated it to the level of even referring to see our chemical plants, because chemical plants as such is known to be more, let's say, not so cleaner or nicer, I can say. But if you see our state of the art plant, the one at Ambernath, and it will be something which you will. You would be having a good word about it everywhere, wherever you are in touch with them. So I think, that will be planning up. And you can approach our Churchgate partners. Anvita is there. Her email IDs and contact numbers might be there on the investor relations. Mr. Bharat Modi is also there, investor relations. Also, you can write to us on our email address. The management will be in touch with you. And whenever there's something, we can see and make certain groups for the plant visits.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Sanjay Tibrewala for his closing comments. Over to you, Mr. Sanjay.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, participants, for listening to me. And this was quite informal discussions, actually. These things cannot be too much spoken sometimes on the, earnings call and things like that. Having a video is something which we always endeavor to do next time also, webinar kind of a thing where, we can keep having more interactions. We are very open and I can assure you, better things to shape up in future. So see you then in our next interaction, whenever it happens. Thank you so much. Have a good week ahead.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.